This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall. We're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for giving us your time and your ear for just a short while. We pray that this teaching and this time around the things of heaven will be of great help, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God will be able to use this to minister to your need this day. And now let's get right to the message for today in the Invisible War. Father, we thank you so much. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, which is in Christ Jesus and in the church to all generations. Lord, we need your help. You're the guide into all truth. And so I pray that you would come and teach and guide. You be our teacher. Lord, I pray you've told us that if any of us lacks wisdom to ask, and you will give it. So I ask you, Lord, for wisdom. Give us an insight into the things of heaven. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone in this room. Thank you for their willingness to be taught, to study your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless their faithfulness. Meet every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In his marvelous, matchless name I pray. Amen and amen. We're in chapter 4. A.W. Tozer. By the way, anything that A.W. Tozer wrote is worth getting. Anything. He's a wonderful preacher. CMA Church, Christian Missionary Alliance. He was 30 years before his time. His work on worship is as good as ever has been written. But anything that Tozer writes is a blessing and an encouragement and will be to you. Satan is aflame with desire for unlimited dominion over the human family. And whenever that evil ambition is challenged by the Spirit of God, he invariably retaliates with savage fury. I want us to look, first of all, at the problem of sin. All sin is a problem with authority. The problem of sin at its core, again, is the problem with authority. As simple as this is, we must come to understand sin in the light of its challenge to authority. Remember, the devil's great sin was to challenge the authority of God by setting himself up to be worshipped as God. Rebellion is the challenge to authority, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. Note this carefully. God's word is his perfect standard of truth and righteousness. Sin, then, must be defined as the attitude, the unwillingness to submit ourselves to what God has said. In his word, our Lord has told us how to live. He has told us how to love our wives. He has told us how to raise our children, how to handle our financial affairs. He has laid out for us how to treat other believers, how to relate to unbelievers, and how to trust him in every area of our lives. He has given us his system of authority in all matters of life. All will be judged. All will be judged according to the word of God. My children will be judged by the same word of God that I will be judged by.
We live in a time of relativism. We live in a time of pragmatism. We don't believe there's an absolute truth. That's why a judge can rule a certain way in one case, and that same judge the next day in the same kind of case rule a whole different kind of way. We live in that kind of world, but folks, in heaven, God has established His truth, and His truth is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. You cannot confuse your life into the Word of God and somehow twist it and try to make it apply to the way you want to apply. You and I will be judged by the same Word of God. Listen to me. We don't judge the Word of God. The Word of God judges us. Amen and amen. The Father is to be the spiritual head of the home. Always. Ephesians 5:23, the pastor, the overseer, is the spiritual authority of the church. We find that in Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. A pulpit committee, a church does not call a pastor. The Holy Spirit of God calls a pastor, and a church only recognizes what God has already done. It is of God. That's why what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. You want a judgment upon you and your family, you raise your hand against God's preachers. The Bible makes it very plain, touch not mine anointed. There is a curse, a serious curse, that comes with those that decide they're here to straighten up the preacher. Listen, if the Holy Spirit can't straighten them up, you sure don't need to be messing with it. They belong to Him, all right? He's called them. When? Before the foundation of the world. Does that mean I cannot encourage? No, I'm not saying that at all. Does that mean I can't bring any issue up? No, I'm not saying that at all. But ultimately, it is a work of the Spirit of God in the life of the overseer. Listen to me. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. After you and I are done in our reward time, in the judgment time, in the bema seat, all right, the preachers have to come behind us, and they have to answer for all of us. Now you think of that. That's an awesome thing. But God tells us that's the way it's going to be. Sheep do not lead sheep without serious consequences. There's a philosophy, prevailing philosophy today, that everybody is a minister within the church. Listen, this is a Greek word, baloney. Does everybody have a ministry within the church? Yes. Has everybody been gifted to perform that ministry in the church? If they are saved, yes. But not everyone is the pastor of that church, okay? It is a unique role that God gives, and to whom much is given, much is required. Listen carefully. Sheep do not lead sheep without serious consequences. These places of authority that have been so ordered by God are in His hands. Romans 13:1-2. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So when you and I challenge the authority of a home, the father is to be the priest of that home. He is to be the spiritual head. When you and I challenge the spiritual authority of a church, okay? When you and I, listen, when you and I challenge the authority that God has established, we are being involved in the rebellion in the heavens. It's a serious, serious matter. Sin, with all its many facets and its essence, is an authority problem, or a problem with authority. What is it that makes a theological liberal? That which makes an infidel of the faith. Is it a liberal school or a bad teacher? No. That which makes a heretic within the church is unbelief. I want to say that again. That which makes a heretic a liberal within the church, an unbeliever, is unbelief, which results in disobedience to the Word of God. Anyone who does not bow to thus saith the Lord becomes an infidel in the church. You can say all day, I'm an inerrantist. But if you're not the head of your home, man, you're an infidel. You can say all day long that I believe the Word of God. But if you raise your hand against your preacher, you're an infidel in the church. The fact remains is, it's not a theological issue, it's a spiritual issue. Sin is an issue of authority. Behind every theological infidel, you will find some unconfessed sin and disobedience within their lives. They have decided to justify themselves instead of being justified by the finished work of Christ on Calvary, who will bring a charge against God's elect. God is the one who justifies, Romans 8:33. Their unbelief, whatever its root, ties them to spiritual rebellion in the heavens. Now, what's the purpose of creation? Colossians 1:16, we find these wonderful words. For by Him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, our rulers, our authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. Those who are confused as to the Creator of all things and the purpose of His creation stay in their confusion in the face of the truth of God's Word. Listen, all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. John 1:3. My friend, God did it. God created you. Everything that is, everything that will be, everything that has been, God created all things, and He created all things for one reason, and that's for His glory. My, the warmth of the sun we enjoy, all the planets, all the stars, all their galaxies, everything you see, everything you and I don't see, God did it. God did it. Not only all things were made by God, but all things were created for Him. I want to say that again. Not only did God create all things, but He created all things not for us, but for Him. All things were made by Him for Him. That's why when a church ceases to glorify God in all that it does, it becomes spiritually sick. Do you know any spiritually sick churches? Do you know any spiritually sick families? Do you know any spiritually sick Christians? I've been one. I understand that. Why? Because somehow I begin to focus on myself. I get self-centered instead of God-centered. I exist to glorify the One who created me. You exist to glorify the One who created you. All things were made for the purpose of the sovereign rule of the Lord Jesus. Christ is ultimately in control of all things. All things are under His control for His glory. To the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Jude, verse 25, and 1 Timothy 6:16, to Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. The word here is dominion. The key word in this study is dominion. The word in the original language is kratos. In some places, it is translated might, force, or strength. The word is derived from the root kra, which means to perfect or complete. The idea is obvious that there is a Creator and He has created all things for His rule and power. In Hebrews 2:14, it is translated power. So, what we know for certain is that God created all things by His power for His power. You got that? God created all things, you and me, everything that is, by His power, for His power. All things were made by God for His power and rule. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion. There it is. Forever and ever. What is this dominion? It is God's power, His right to rule over His creation. And then 1 Peter 5:11, to Him, Christ, to Him be dominion forever and ever. Often the scripture uses the concept of dominion in the same phrase with authority. Authority is also implied. All things visible, invisible, all principalities and powers, all rulers and authorities, all mankind, everything that is, has been created for the sole rule of its creator. Are you getting this now? This is fundamental stuff, but you can't understand spiritual warfare if you don't get this issue. This is the fundamental issue of spiritual warfare. All right? Jesus is Lord. And all things were made to exalt His name. So I simply want you to see that the issue, the primary fundamental issue of spiritual warfare is who is Lord? Well, there's one Lord. It is the Lord Jesus. He's created all things by His power for His rule, for His power. So we look at the plan of the enemy. Here it is, we begin to understand the purpose of the rebellion in the heavens. Remember, the devil set himself up to be worshipped as God. Isaiah 14:12-15. Satan tried to steal away from God His dominion. His only right to rule over His creation. When Satan decided he was going to rule in the heavens, he was essentially stealing that which did not belong to him. The praise and the glory, the right to rule in the heavens that only goes to the Lord Himself. The devil is a thief. He comes to steal anything that he can take from the rule of the Lord Jesus. Satan's attack against God in the heavens was an attack on the Lordship of God Himself. Because of the devil's rebellion, he and the angels who joined that rebellion have been severely judged by God. They carry God's curse and they all know it. There is no chance for repentance. There is no chance when you engage in spiritual warfare, when you deal with these demons, they are not sorry it happened. There's no chance for recompense. There's not any chance for repentance. They are doomed. They are damned. They are creatures of the darkness, and they know it. They know it. Jude verse 6 tells us, the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day. All of Satan's schemes, all of them, are an attempt to steal from the Lord anything that rightfully belongs to Him. Through lies, deceptions, and all manners of evil, the devil is working tirelessly to take anything, anything, which rightfully belongs to the one true God. As we look again to the concept given to us in Ephesians, we begin to understand the basis of the invisible war. In Ephesians 4:26-27, it says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, for you will give the devil a place or an opportunity to work." The word here is topos. We get the word typography from it. We've talked about it several times during the study. But what is this typography? Are these toposes? It literally means the ground or the place given to the devil for him to rule. Don't give the devil a place to rule. Don't give him an opportunity to stand. Don't give him the territory, any territory that belongs only to the one true God who created all territory for His rule. All right? Through disobedience and unbelief, we give the enemy a place to work in our lives. Since all things have been created for the rule and dominion of God alone, not trusting the Lord, not believing His word, is to give that area of unbelief over to the devil. And let me tell you something, folks, he'll gladly take it. He'll gladly take it. We see this echoed in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the pulling down of strongholds," or the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. King James Version calls these fortresses strongholds. What are these strongholds we are to pull down, church? What are these fortresses that we are to destroy, that we are to allow the Spirit of God to use us to pull down? They are the topazes. They are the places given over to the devil through sin and unbelief. Well, there's much we can say. Let me simply say, why is this so serious? When you and I decide not to believe what God says, we are allowing the enemy to build a stronghold, a place to rule in our lives. Why is this so serious? Because the devil doesn't have any right to rule anything. He doesn't have a right to rule in your family. He doesn't have a right to rule in that child's life. He doesn't have a right to rule in God's church. And yet, through our sin and unbelief, we give him that authority and that right. It's an amazing thing. No one does. No one has a right to rule unless God ordains it for His holy purposes and for the glory of God alone. Satan wants to rule any ground, any area, any attitude, any habit, any bitterness. Satan wants to control any business, any family, any life. Satan wants to control any school, any class, any student. Satan wants to control any city, any town, any community. Satan wants to control any denomination, any association or mission, any church. Satan wants to control. To do so, he must steal it from the one true Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He does so by getting us to join his rebellion against God through our unbelief. At the moment man refuses to believe what God has said is true, he gives the devil the unlawful right to rule and control these areas.
Thank you, Rob. We'll pick up the next part of this topic next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We really appreciate you being here for this program and coming alongside us in the Invisible War. We know that you're in it and that you believe in this message. And if you do, help us stay on the air with this message. Dr. Rob Randall is one of those who is on the front lines. He needs your prayers and he needs your support. Support us financially, as radio time is not free. Go to theinvisiblewar.org on the web. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Or call us 877-808-8886. Toll free 1-877-808-8886. Your generous gift is most appreciated. Thank you for coming alongside us. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
Let's join together as we ask the Lord to do His mighty work among us. Lord, we thank You today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You. You have been faithful to all generations, and we today have found You faithful. Lord, let us be reminded, help us know that when You died on Calvary, no one else needs to shed their blood for sin. Your blood is enough for all sin, for all time. So, Lord, I just simply ask You today, in the mighty, precious, magnificent name of the Lord Jesus, draw us to Thee. That which You purpose in Your heart in heaven, I pray that You would do the greatest work in our lives this day for Your greatest glory. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us know how we can help you. Please go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Also, call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. May God richly bless you in the journey, and thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.